In my time as an aerospace engineer, I began researching the migration and the plight of the Essenes and how this body of information, this lineage of wisdom, found its way to so many different places throughout the world. One of the first journeys that this study led me upon was in 1986 into the mountains of Egypt, specifically on the Sinai Peninsula, to what today is recognized as one of the single most ancient monasteries that has been continuously inhabited, St. Catherine's Monastery at the base of Mount Sinai in Egypt. What we know is that for over 1,500 years, the monastery at St. Catherine has remained intact. It's common for monasteries to be overrun by foreign armies over time, and they become fortresses or they become homes sometimes before they return to being a monastery again. And this has never happened in St. Catherine's Monastery. It has been continuously inhabited for over 1,500 years. And the monks that live in this monastery, they're fascinating. They're beautiful little men. They are Coptic and Christian and some Greek Orthodox. The monastery itself on the exterior looks deceptively primitive. It looks like old earthen brick and adobe walls. There's very little electricity in the monastery. The monks bake their bread in the sun. They pump their water first thing in the morning. They burn oil lamps for light and illumination. They arise about 4 a.m. and begin their day, and they're usually in bed by 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. The outside, however, is so deceptive once you enter into the main sanctuary, because for 1,500 years, the monks have had the opportunity to adorn the sanctuary with icons and images from throughout the world, and it is one of the most elegant, just magnificent, beautiful, beautiful sights that I have ever seen, and something you just wouldn't expect to see in the deserts of High Egypt. In 1997, there was a very sad time for the people of Egypt. In the fall of 97, there was a massacre of foreign tourists in an area known, they call it Luxor, but it was actually about 60 miles outside of Luxor on the west bank of the Nile. German tourists, depending on how many and whose account it was, 60 to 65 tourists were killed by now what we know were very well-organized terrorists financed by other countries. It was a very sad time for the Egyptians. First of all, they were embarrassed by what they were not Egyptians that did the massacre. They didn't want the world to think of them as and associate them with something like that. It was also a very frightening time. U.S. Embassies, many embassies, they closed. Tour companies pulled out. Hundreds and hundreds of tours canceled in 1 week. And for the next year and a half, the tourism, that's the 80% of the gross national product of Egypt, was almost non-existent. Just from this terrorism, it had accomplished its purpose. That's what they were trying to do. Well, it just happened that we were on our way into Egypt with a group during that time. The next week, we were going over, and I called everyone in the group and asked them how they felt about going, if they would like to postpone, cancel, go forward with the group. And this is always, it's the interesting part of the story. There were only two people that chose to stay home. One of them was my mother, and the other one was my wife's sister. So the family wasn't comfortable, but everyone else was comfortable with going. They said, this is what this trip is all about. So we did.